All right, Mike Adams here. Welcome to this emergency update for Sunday, February 20th, 2022. We are seeing extreme police brutality in Ottawa, just as we had predicted. In fact, a lot of this is going according to a blueprint for the total tyranny dictatorship. We're going to talk about that. And you may recall, those of you who heard my situation update on Thursday, 2 days, well, 3 days ago now, I said on Thursday, in 48 hours, the Canadian government's going to have a very aggressive counter-assault against the protesters. Remember that? I said by Saturday noon that, boom, it's going to happen. Well, it actually happened Friday. And again, not difficult to predict. We can see the playbook of what the Canadian government's going to do. And I'm going to give you more information about where I think this is going next based on what's going down there right now. But it wasn't difficult to see that the Canadian government was going to escalate the terrorism against the citizens. And there's an even bigger story in all of this, or a bigger analysis, which is that the world is watching Canada, and the world is watching the brutality. The world is watching the horses trample innocent people. I'm going to show you that video. And the police brutality, knees to the faces of the innocent, peaceful protesters. The cops didn't think they were caught on camera, but they were. I mean, they're just brutalizing innocent protesters, okay? But the world is watching, and the whole world is coming to realize something very critical for the awakening of humanity. And that is that wherever you are in the world, your government is probably a terrorist organization. Wherever you live in the world, almost without exception, there might be a few exceptions. I'm not going to go through the whole globe here, but by and large, almost every government around the world is a terrorist organization that will use force, coercion, that will steal and loot your money, which is what Canada's doing, that will take away your rights, that will lie and call you racists or terrorists in order to confiscate your property, to take away your business, to cancel your driver's license, to debank you so that you can't even have accounts with banks at all, to ostracize you from society simply because you are peacefully speaking out against the government's policies. And this same thing is true now in the United States as well as Canada. Same thing's true in Australia, New Zealand, France, right? UK, Scotland, right? Britain, Scotland, France. I mean, all different places all around the world, you know, Singapore for sure, and many other countries. And so the way to navigate this, the way through this that I have advocated for this entire time is being followed perfectly by the Canadian protesters. And for those of you who haven't heard this analysis before, this may come as a shock, but the way to defeat the tyranny is to allow yourself to be beaten. In other words, to allow the government to show their tyrannical true nature. And here's why. Here's why that's the strategy, especially in Canada, for our modern age. You see, you can't fight tyranny with guns and bullets. And anybody who thinks that there could be an uprising in the United States with guns and more guns and yet more guns because it's America, that if you think you're going to overthrow the government with guns, no. That's never going to happen because the government wants you to come at them with guns, because then they can say, see, you are terrorists. And then they can invoke the Insurrection Act and the military and martial law and gun confiscation and everything they want. So no, guns are not the answer to this. That's not the way to win. So what is it? It's kind of it's the Gandhi approach. It's the Martin Luther King approach. Frankly, it's the Jesus Christ approach against the Roman Empire. It's to let them brutalize you. And I know you might say, well, it's easy for you to say, Adams, you're in Texas. You're not anywhere near Ottawa. Yeah, but I've been in this fight for 20 years. I've been stalked. I've been death threatened. I've had, you know, I know exactly what this is. I've been on the front lines for 2 decades, folks. And Alex Jones even longer. So I know what this is like. And yes, we have to let them brutalize us, because every day that we stand in peace and solidarity and demonstrate that we are the good people. We, the people of Canada, the people of America, the people of Australia, whoever, we are the good people, and that you, governments, you police run by the tyrants, not all police are bad, but the police that are following these orders are carrying out crimes against humanity. And you bureaucrats and you, Chrystia Freeland, the deputy prime minister, you government terrorists, you are the bad people. And the world can now see, because the videos are going viral. The videos are going viral. And you may recall that I said every single day that this continues, the government of Canada will demonstrate another insane act of tyranny. And what have they shown in the last 2 days? Smashing out windows of the truckers, trampling elderly people with war horses, kneeing people to the face, brutalizing innocent protesters. I mean, elbowing them while they're on the ground. We're going to show you some of those videos. I know they're kind of brutal, but let's just do that now. Let me show you some of these videos here. All right, now in this video, police officers are dragging a protester in between vehicles. They think that they're hidden from the cameras. Oh, knee to the face. Another knee to the face. Another knee to the face. You see that? Now watch, this heavy police officer climbs on top of him. Boom, elbows. Elbows to the face. All right, those are killer moves when somebody is on concrete or on ice or on snow. And that's what the police are doing here. Now, I train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so I'm very much aware of what those moves can do. And those are brutal moves that can kill someone, especially with the weight difference. That cop looks like he weighs about 260, maybe, on top of a guy. So, you know, he knees the guy to the face, and then he gets into a mount position where the guy can't breathe, and then he's elbowing him to the face. Okay, that's police brutality, and that's what happens under a dictatorship. Oh, and by the way, as a side note, before we continue with these videos, it has also become apparent to me that at some point, the people of Canada are going to have to rise up and dismantle their oppressors, because Trudeau is never going to back down voluntarily. There will be no peaceful way that Trudeau himself chooses to back down. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute, of where this goes. But let's take a look at more of the brutality, because every day, the Canadian regime gives us another demonstration of how incredibly brutal they are and how they violate human rights. So let's go down to the next video. This one's 24 seconds. All right, now in this video, police officers are brutalizing a man here. Watch, again, here comes the knees. Boom, knee to the chest. All right, looks like he was going for a headlock. Oh, yep, some kind of a headlock. Oh, knee to the back, to the spine. Now the guy's on his back, and what do the cops do? They form a barrier to stop the video from being filmed. So you see, here's a case where not only the police of Canada are engaging in a brutal assault of citizens, and then they form a barrier in order to block people from video recording this. Well, of course, they failed, which is why we are seeing it. And this is one of the important points in all of this. Because we, the people, we have our own platforms now. And that one's still on Twitter. That is, if Twitter hasn't deleted it by the time my editor needs to put it in. But that one was still on Twitter. Twitter will purge most of these videos in time. And ultimately, these videos are only going to be found on places like Brighteon and BitChute and Rumble and so on. But even there, they will garner, in the aggregate, hundreds of millions of views. And people will move to those platforms in order to see these videos. In other words, the government of Canada can't cover this up. They no longer control the narrative. They no longer control the videos. They no longer control the memes either. So, okay, with that, let's take a look now at the horse trampling video.
Oh, come on through. Come on through. What is happening here? Wow, what is this lady doing? Trampling horses. Trampling. Stop it. Stop it. What?
What the hell is that?
They just trampled this lady. They just trampled that lady. They just fully trampled that lady. They just fully trampled that lady.
So what you saw there was the Canadian regime, it's a dictatorship now under Trudeau, using what I'm calling war horses. These are extremely heavy battle horses to deliberately trample a crowd by driving the horses directly into the crowd. So that's the same as driving a van into a crowd or any kind of heavy vehicle. These horses weigh, I don't know, I'm just guessing 1,500 pounds each, maybe more, especially with the rider. I don't know the exact weight, but they're very, very heavy. And all that weight is concentrated into four hooves. And those hooves can break your spine, break your face, break your neck, break your sternum. They can kill you. And that's even if the horses are not trying to kill you. That's just because the officers riding the horses are driving the horses into the crowd. So that is attempted murder on the part of the RCMP. That's Canadian police attempting to murder Canadian citizens, okay? Caught on video. And this is exactly what we expected to see. This is exactly what I predicted 2 days ago. And every single day, we're going to see more of this. And there are more examples. There are now accusations that Canadian police are firing rubber bullets into the crowd. And probably at some point, they will upgrade those bullets. But right now, it's rubber bullets. There was a Rebel News reporter who was shot with a tear gas canister at point-blank range. I think they shot her leg. And then she was beaten with some kind of a baton simply for being a journalist covering this event. Okay? And there are more examples, you know, shattered windows and so on, and the government threatening to take people's animals and murder their animals every day. You're going to see another example of this literally every day. Now, you might ask, why? How can Trudeau's regime not understand the images that they are presenting to the world? How can they not see the insanity of this? Why are they continuing to escalate this? And the answer is, of course, they don't care what people think, because they're never going back to a democracy if they can maintain this power. You see, they've already suspended parliament. Did you know that? It's part of the emergency powers. So there's no parliament. There's no free speech allowed in Canada. There's no rule of law. The dictatorial government can seize your money, seize your business, seize your truck. They can silence you without any due process. They can arrest you. They can beat you, smash your face. They can trample you with essentially deadly force using war horses, and there's nothing that you can do about it yet. That's a key word. All we can do right now is show the world the brutality of the Canadian regime and their violation of human rights, and how Canada is looking a lot like communist China or North Korea at this point, or maybe even the Third Reich, which is not a stretch when you know the history of Chrystia Freeland, whose grandfather was an actual Nazi propagandist, okay? So, although it seems painful, and that elderly woman who was trampled, she's alive, reportedly. She suffered a separated shoulder. Fortunately, a horse did not kill her. But they were trying to kill. The police officers were trying to kill people with those horses. But every day that they demonstrate this is, in fact, a public relations victory for the freedom movement. Every day that someone is bloodied, every day that someone is kneed to the face on camera is, believe it or not, a victory for the freedom convoy. Because as the evidence of brutality continues to mount, there will be soon, this is one of my predictions, international calls for the Canadian regime to answer to accusations of human rights violations. So you will start to see United States senators, possibly Rand Paul, standing up and saying to the government of Canada, you are violating the human rights of your citizens. You're going to see this happening publicly, I would imagine, within a few days. And you may see lawmakers or prominent people, leaders from other countries standing up and saying the same thing. And there will be increasing calls by human rights organizations around the world against the Canadian regime. And there will be more calls from within Canada as well, such as from the premiers and leaders of other provinces across Canada, especially those that are not so close to Ottawa, right? And you started to see some of that already happening. Now, where I believe this is going, because the government of Canada cannot control its, they are out of control with their coercion and their use of force and their brutality, okay? So there will be more videos every day. And because of this, the Canadian government cannot win this conflict by simply turning up the volume on more violence. But that's what they will try because that's all they know. That's all governments know around the world is to steal from you, take your money, put a gun in your face, shove a knee in your face, brutalize you. That's all governments know. That's why almost every government around the world is a terrorist organization, and that's becoming clear to people all over the world. So if the Canadian government stays on this path, and so far it looks like they will, then where this is headed is an uprising, peaceful protests in every major city in Canada. And then in addition, out of empathy for the Canadians, you will see an increasing number of protests in U.S. cities that are all about what's happening in Canada. And then in addition, you'll see protests against Canadian embassies in every major nation around the world, Germany, France, UK, and so on and so forth. So you're going to see mass uprisings, again, peaceful, because that is the Canadian way, by the way. And the Canadian government looks so horrible for its brutality. And this dynamic is going to continue to escalate, more force, more coercion, more peaceful protests spreading to more cities until the political pressure on the Trudeau regime becomes so great that he is forced out of office. And then Trudeau himself will be politically sacrificed as the fall guy for the whole fiasco. All right, that's my prediction of where this is actually headed. And at some point, when Trudeau is forced out, the effort will be to bring in someone like Freeland. Remember, she's the deputy prime minister, to say, oh, well, Trudeau was the problem, but we, the rest of us, we respect your civil liberties. We respect human rights. We're back in charge. Don't worry. Everything's fine. Go home. But that itself will be a scam because Freeland is probably worse than Trudeau. But they're just going to back off for a little bit to try to get everybody to go home. You see, so part of this effort on the part of the globalists is to find out exactly how much they can get away with. And by the way, I just moved rooms here. If you hear more echoey audio here, I'm just in a different room, a little bit different acoustics. But the globalists are coming to realize that actually they can't get away with as much as they thought they could. They really got away with a lot for 2 years, and now the pushback is rather surprising to them, I think. The globalists are on the run. And this movement that's happening in Canada is, of course, spreading. You're seeing it replicated in many other nations and regions around the world, and I think that's going to continue. So this is all this means, and you've heard me say this before as well, is that the globalists are going to have to escalate into different types of tactics, i.e. the release of a biological weapon. Something else to panic people into submitting to tyranny. Now, as coincidence would have it, yesterday I interviewed Dr. Yen Limong, who's the virologist whistleblower from Hong Kong, well, originally from China. We had a really great interview, about an hour-long talk about many things. And, of course, she is warning that the CCP has engineered biological weapons and that they've tested them in a province or a city in China called Xi'an, and that from what they gleaned from that testing on their own citizens, the CCP is planning on releasing biological weapons on the Western world. And they may have already done so at the Olympics, the Beijing Olympics, but as Dr. Yen clarified with me, she's not, or her intelligence sources are not yet certain of whether or not that was released at the Olympics. So we don't know for sure. We just know that this is China's intention. Now, if this were to happen, and we're talking about hemorrhagic fever biological weapons, such as Marburg and Lassa fever, as it's called, and well, there's Ebola in that category, but Dr. Yen doesn't believe Ebola is going to be part of this. But there are many other different varieties. If these get released, then it's going to actually, you're going to see governments like Canada and the United States become even more aggressive in their posturing of saying, well, you know, we told you, look how dangerous the world is. There's pathogens everywhere. And they're going to insist, once again, going back into lockdowns, more masking, and of course, more mandatory vaccines once they become ready for these pathogens or nanoparticles or whatever they end up being. So you're going to see governments reassert more authority, which is exactly what the globalists want. So it's in the globalists' interest to create fear and panic with another biological weapon, and that's exactly what appears to be in the process of being released. So it's not a coincidence. Now, I have one more important observation to share with you here. There is a trucker convoy that's gaining steam in the United States. I have a very bad feeling about how the government is going to respond to a trucker convoy in the United States. The U.S. government is not like the Canadian government. The U.S. government is more evil. And the U.S. citizens are not like Canadian citizens. The U.S. citizens are, well, more armed. And it's very easy for the deep state to insert armed insurgents or operators or false flag operators of some kind into a trucker convoy as it approaches Washington, D.C. And don't forget that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in D.C. have been looking for an excuse for why they had so many National Guard troops surrounding the Capitol building, why they built the new concrete wall, and why they have all this fencing and security features being built up all over the city. Well, this trucker convoy could give them the justification they need as the deep state inserts false flag elements into the convoy. Now, just to be clear, I support peaceful protests, which means I support the trucker convoy as long as it remains peaceful. And what I'm pointing out is that it presents an opportunity for a rogue, criminal, terrorist government to insert violent elements into that activity. And of course, the corporate media in America is going to paint this convoy in the same way that the Canadian media is describing the trucker convoy there in Ottawa as a bunch of racists and terrorists and white supremacists and so on. Of course, it's all lies. We know that. But that's exactly what the media is going to do in the United States. That's how they're going to try to paint this in the U.S. My fear is that the U.S. government is going to have a far more vicious and violent reaction against the trucker convoy in America compared to the way the Canadian government responded to the trucker convoy in Canada. Believe it or not, I think the Canadian response has been more restrained compared to what we're going to get from the U.S. government. That's just my prediction. And so we could be looking at a truly disastrous scenario where let's just examine the worst case of this. Let's say that there's some deep state element that infiltrates the trucker convoy as it heads into DC, and they load up a truck with a giant bomb like they did Oklahoma City, right? And you know, Oklahoma City, that was done by the FBI. That was done by the deep state. Timothy McVeigh was just the scapegoat. And you know, the U.S. government allowed 9/11 to happen, you know, and so on and so forth. And the FBI was involved in recruiting the, quote, terrorists for the 1993 attempted bombing of the World Trade Center. All that came out as all FBI. So you can bet the FBI is right now figuring out how to rig a truck with giant bombs. And they're going to probably join the convoy and then drive that truck into DC and then set it off or something, and to blame the truckers and probably to blame, you know, Alex Jones and blame Trump and blame gun owners and blame anti-vaxxers, whatever. This is the way the U.S. government operates. It's a terrorist organization, just to be clear. And they need a new narrative because they are losing so badly right now in public opinion. They're losing so badly that, you know, they're going to lose the Senate and the House if this current trend continues and if the elections are held. So they need a reason to halt the elections. They need a national emergency, right? They also need an excuse to confiscate guns. And they need an excuse to have even more censorship against free speech. And they need a reason to go after anti-vaxxers. So this could be the perfect thing for the deep state to achieve all of those goals at the same time. If they set off a giant bomb. And, you know, sadly, a rig gives them the opportunity to pack a lot of their deep state explosives into a format, you know, that fits in a, what is it, like a 40-foot truck? I don't know how long they are, 45 feet? They're pretty long. They can fit a lot in there, and they, the deep state, they could do a lot of damage. And of course, the media narrative, again, is going to blame it on, innocent parties. So I'm very concerned because the United States, especially in DC, that's already a kind of a martial law police state scenario there. We're not going to have the same success that Canada is demonstrating right now in Ottawa in terms of peaceful people marching through the streets or dancing in the streets in Washington, D.C. No. The deep state and the Biden regime, they're going to lock down D.C. It's going to be a total police state checkpoint. It's not going to be the same thing at all. So I'm not thrilled about the prospects of where this U.S. convoy of the outcome of this, because, again, I think it's going to be exploited by the deep state. I would also like to point out that really, technically, no convoy is necessary to peacefully protest against tyrannical regimes. What if around the world there were organized simply a general strike? Said, well, hey, everybody who drives a truck, we're going to have a week where we don't drive. The trucks stay off. Or we're going to have a week where all of us don't show up for work. No matter what you do, you work for government, you work in a hospital, you work at a grocery store, you work in a meat plant, I don't know, wherever you work. What if everybody just said, we're not going to participate anymore. We're not going to provide supplies to the cities. We're not going to drive the trucks. No deliveries, no warehousing, no logistics, nothing. General strike. Well, that may be coming. And yeah, it's going to suck for a lot of people during that week, but it's going to send a very powerful message, which is that we, the people, we are the ones in charge. And we are the ones that grant limited powers to government for our convenience. And when governments abuse those powers, we will take them back. We will withdraw our consent from those corrupt governments. And so I think a general strike is actually probably the most effective mechanism to send a very powerful message to tyrannical terrorist government regimes, which includes Canada and the United States and others. And it's also effective because the government can't go door to door and make you work. See what I mean? They can't come to your door, put a gun to your head, and say, you must drive your truck. Like, you know, you can say to them, well, what are you going to do? I mean, and the government says, well, if you don't drive your truck, we're going to shoot you. And then you can respond using the old Richard Pryor line. Well, who going to clean up the blood inward? That's Richard Pryor. He says it really well. Who going to clean up the blood? You know, I mean, you shoot me. I mean, if you don't shoot me, I'm not going to drive the truck. You can't make me drive the truck. If you do shoot me, you're going to have to deal with the body. I mean, that's the point where a lot of humanity is at. It's like, you can't make me work for your regime one more day. And there are people who are at the point saying, I don't care if I lose my truck. I don't care if I lose my trucking business. I don't care if I lose income. I don't care if I have to downsize my house or sell my car or, you know, live in a trailer or whatever, because liberty, you can't put a price on it. All those things are just possessions. But liberty, if you lose it, you lose it forever. You never get it back without a whole lot of, you know, well, historically, wars and revolutions and such. So is it worth giving up some material possessions and saying no right now peacefully in order to send a powerful message to these governments? And the answer is yes. But ultimately, and it's, I can't see this far ahead, but over the next several years, ultimately where this has to go is that the globalist cartels have to be completely dismantled and prosecuted for their crimes against humanity. And that means that every member of the Canadian government that has been pushing these vaccine mandates and has been pushing the police brutality against the peaceful protesters and so on. Every single one of those people needs to be arrested and prosecuted, you know, indicted, put charged with crimes against humanity and prosecuted for those crimes. And the same thing is true for every complicit member of Congress in the United States, every hospital administrator, every big tech CEO, every big pharma CEO that's part of this crime against humanity. All their assets need to be seized. All their top people need to be prosecuted and imprisoned, in my view. And that process may take several years to unfold, but I do believe that's coming as well. But between now and then, I think the big question in everyone's mind is, number one, you know, how bad is it going to get? How bloody is it going to get in terms of government brutality against citizens? Will Canada start shooting protesters? Well, they're doing it now with rubber bullets, but are they going to use lead? I hope not. Maybe not, because Canada is a little more restrained. Will the U.S. government shoot citizens? Absolutely. No question about it. And that's part of my fear about the trucker convoy in America. I think it can end badly. I think there are actually, in my view, more effective ways that are less risky to send the same message to a tyrannical regime. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I respect everybody's different approach on this. I'm just pointing out some possible risks of this. It could end very badly. All right, so the bottom line for you and I and everybody that we know is to, of course, stay incredibly well prepared. That's a given. We need to be ready for disruptions. We need to be ready for a general strike. We need to be ready for governments to become even more tyrannical. We also need to be ready for governments to seize everything they can get their hands on. We're seeing that the Canadian government is now seizing people's bank accounts and also seizing their crypto wallets, or attempting to. I should say they're trying to blacklist crypto wallets. Now, who is it? The CEO of, I think it's called Kraken, has put out an alert, said everybody should get out of the online crypto wallets and online exchanges. 100%. If you have Bitcoin or any other crypto and it's in an online wallet, meaning you log in somewhere to see your balance, you need to get out immediately and move to a peer-to-peer wallet, a wallet that actually exists on your computer that you run yourself, that you control. If you're using an online wallet, your funds can be seized. And that's already begun. And it's very clear now that Canada and the United States are declaring war against crypto. And so this is a big wake-up call for the entire crypto community. Number one, everybody who's in crypto is now aware that of how evil the government is, because the government said, we're coming for your crypto. We're going to seize your crypto. But secondly, they are also getting a wake-up call that you can't use online exchanges, you know, like Coinbase. If you have your crypto money is in Coinbase, it can all be taken. Why? Because Coinbase knows who you are. They've tied your ID to your wallet. And the government can just look at you and say, well, we don't like what you're saying, and issue a list to Coinbase and say, seize all of these accounts belonging to these individuals, boom, and Coinbase will comply. And so will other online exchanges. They will all comply because they don't want to be put out of business and be raided by the FBI and have their servers seized and so on and so forth. So the only defense against that is to have wallets under your own control on your own computers. And if you don't know how to do that, you don't have any business owning crypto, you know, frankly. That's the only way you should ever own crypto. But most people don't know how to do that. I would say more than 99% of those who own crypto just have it in online wallets. So they don't know how cryptocurrency works. And it's all going to be seized at some point, or potentially, by these governments. So once more, a good case for gold and silver, isn't it, right? It's really hard for governments to seize your gold. Number one, they have to come to your door. Well, I guess first they have to know that you even have it, which is difficult because it's not digital. There's not like some remote magical gold detector where the government can just fly over your house and tell how much gold you have. They don't know. And then secondly, they have to come get it. You might not be home, or you might not cooperate with that confiscation request. You might say, go hunt for it, right? Or go F yourself and then hunt for it. And then what's the government going to do? Send out men with shovels and crowbars to pull out all your drywall in your house and look for gold? And no, they don't have the people power to do that. So that's why physical gold and silver is so much more secure than anything electronic, because the governments can see everything that's electronic, and if they can see it, they can seize it. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. All right, so be prepared in every way you can. Be prepared financially. Be prepared with backup food supplies. Be prepared, stay informed so that you can know what's happening often before, the people around you know what's going on. There are some very concerning signs right now about where all this is headed. It's going to be a crazy year. Canada's not backing down yet. They're going to get crazier. They're going to commit more violence. They're going to probably start murdering people, not just with horses, but in some other way as well. And in the U.S., this trucker convoy meeting with the swamp creatures in D.C., that could be a very, very dangerous false flag event. Something way bigger than J6, by the way. Way more dangerous, way bigger, way more malicious, planned by the deep state in advance. They have all this time to plan. I would not be surprised if they try something massive and bloody and horrific. Just that, I'm very concerned about that happening. So you may not want to be there in D.C. I don't know. I support truckers when everything they're doing is peaceful. Absolutely. I support the trucker convoy in concept. It's just, I'm afraid it's going to be sabotaged or used as a false flag system by the deep state. That's my concern. So make of it what you will. Okay. But the bottom line, this whole thing's going global. People everywhere are waking up. The governments of the world are backpedaling right now. They're trying to use force to stay in power, but they're going to lose. They're going to lose because the people are rising up everywhere. And if we can keep this peaceful, we win by forcing the governments to show their brutality, their tyranny, their crimes against humanity. And that's exactly what's working right now in Canada. So I'm Mike Adams, of course, Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support, and thank you for all of you out there who are joining this effort for courage, for human freedom, for human rights, even for the future of human civilization. This is the most epic battle in the history of human civilization, in my view. This is bigger than, Rome or the fall of Rome. This is bigger than the Civil War. This is bigger than the Revolutionary War. This is bigger than the Maoist, battles in Russia and Stalin, bigger than anything. This is bigger than the Holocaust. And if we don't do this right and we don't stop this evil, then humanity will be done for, destroyed. So this is the time to stand up and achieve victory, but we've got to do it through peaceful means. So thank you for listening. Take care.